Finns det något bättre än riktigt gott färskmalet kaffe på morgonen? Det skulle väl vara en McToast med rökt skinka och smältost. Och nu får du båda för bara 30 kronor. Välkommen till McDonald's.
De kan skriva mina citat innan jag ens säger dem. Så.
Där har vi en dialog. Vi har ambitionen att det ska vara klart ganska snart.
Kommer man att se en mycket spännande fortsatt utveckling. Hur vi ska utveckla GIF Sundsvall. Vi har en spännande utvecklingsresa. Mycket spännande utvecklingsresa.
Han har klokt nog att välja Sundsvall som nästa utvecklingsminister.
Det är en spännande lösning.
Spännande vård. Väldigt spännande central mittfält.
Du lyssnar till GIF-podden. Peter Wilson kvitterar i den 85:e matchminuten. Peter Wilson.
GIF-podden är tillbaka med ett nytt avsnitt. Och dagens gäst till ära ska vi koppla över till engelska. And it's a tradition that the guests always pronounce their full name.
Okay. My name is David Marcelo Palomino Palacio.
Okay, so yeah. it's a lot of names.
Yeah.
And you say David, not David.
I mean, if I were going to pronounce it, I guess correctly, it would be in Spanish, and it would be David Marcelo Palomino Palacio.
Yeah. But it depends.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking in English, so I'll give it to you in English. Or here they say David, so.
yeah, I heard it. I was surprised the first time I heard it. I heard the speaker when you met Umeå a couple of weeks ago, who said it, and in typical Norrland Swedish, David. But so I was surprised. His name is Marcelo, but... I had wrong. She was right.
No, she was right. My first name is David, but I go by Marcelo. Everyone calls me Marcelo. My parents, my family, everyone. Mm.
The next question, we start up with some brief questions. Mm. Which nickname has Pontus Engblom given to you? He gives nicknames to every player.
I think he's called me several things. I would say a lot of the time he actually tries to speak Spanish to me a little bit. He knows bit of Spanish. Yeah, so when we're playing or something, I hear him saying like aquí, aquí, or balón, balón, or something. So I mean, he hasn't called me too much. He just says kind of those words. But I think for now it's just been Marcelo. But I'm sure maybe something will come.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you react faster when he says aquí rather than here?
No, I don't think so, but then after I get a little distracted, like, what, did he really just speak Spanish to me?
so he maybe tricks you to fail.
No, I wouldn't take it that far. You but think too much. Now it's normal. Now it's normal. Now I'm Pontus is my Spanish speaking friend here.
He makes you feel
yeah
at home.
Exactly.
Nice. Are you more Spanish speaking than English speaking?
No, I would say my English is better. My Spanish is very good. I have no trouble speaking it. Matter of fact, I think my first language was Spanish at home. But as I started to grow, and obviously I used English more at school and stuff, so my English is probably better.
What do you eat for breakfast?
Normal, like now, or what would I do at home?
At home.
At home, I love my eggs. I would do about 3 to 4 eggs, and either just scrambled, or I'll do, I wouldn't say like an omelet, but it's kind of just like a mixture with like tomatoes, onions, spinach, and then I like to have a glass of orange juice, and that's my typical breakfast.
Oh, your carbs.
Carbs?
Yeah.
A little bit. Sometimes I'll have a toast, but I mean, that's enough for me, I think. And then I'll get a big lunch.
Yeah. Okay. How does your family look like?
Like size?
Yeah.
I'm the youngest of 7 brothers and sisters. 5 boys, 2 girls.
Good
I'm
job.
The youngest, yeah. And I have several, obviously, nephews and nieces, as you can imagine, being the youngest of 7. So, pretty big family, but I love the holidays are fun. Having everyone come over to well, I was living at home, so having everyone come over to my parents' house was great.
Which was your first club?
My first club was my dad was coaching just a couple teams. He made a couple teams for my brother and I when we were younger, and it was just a local team that I played with until I was about maybe 10 years old when I moved to my hometown professional team, the Academy of Houston Dynamo, where I spent probably the next 10 years, three of them being professional and the rest being with the Academy, until I moved here to Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Which ability have you been practicing the most?
Does my Swedish count?
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah, of course.
I would say my Swedish, if we're talking about off the field things, I think on the field, just reacting quickly to changes of possession, whether it's from offense to defense or vice versa. And then, of course, just trying to get fit again. After my injury, that's probably the most important thing, is to just get back 100%. Mm. And my foot is feeling... it's feeling great, and physically, my conditioning is coming back as well.
Yeah, because you broke your ankle, right?
My foot, my fifth metatarsal. So okay. It's like this bone just under the pinky.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your greatest idol from your childhood?
The true, but maybe a little bit boring answer would be my parents. But if we're talking about, and I say boring just because it's a basic answer, but it's true. If we're talking about football, I mean, obviously my dad as well, he played before and he's the one who taught me. And I think in world football, I would say I had several. My biggest, that's a tough one. I think, and coming from a Real Madrid fan, I'll say probably Iniesta.
Mm-hmm. What do you do on a day off?
On a day off, I usually like to, especially like now that I'm new to Simsville, I like to kind of take a little lap around the town and get to know different places. Maybe go eat somewhere I haven't been before. But it's a little bit difficult with all the snow and the ice. It's getting a little warmer and it's feeling a little better. So my last day off, I took a little lap around the town. But typically, just either hang out with some of the guys or watch some shows on Netflix or a movie or something, probably something like that.
Who in the team has been taking care of you the most?
That's a tough question. I think everyone's been really helpful. Everyone's been really good and very welcoming. I feel like I've been here for 3 or 4 months already because of how tight the group is and how welcome they've made me feel. But I would say maybe, I don't even want to throw names and upset people. But no, I think maybe Lucas Forsberg, he usually gives me a ride to training as well.
Okay.
So he's been real cool and we get along well. Pontus Lindgren, we're both at the hotel. So we see each other multiple times, have dinner together there and stuff.
You're a bunch of players at the hotel right now.
It's just us two and
the Zambian
Lewis.
Guy.
Yeah,
Lewis.
Uh-huh.
Do you dare to pronounce his last name? Or
I haven't seen
it. Do you even know it?
I don't know it, but I would love to give it a try.
Do you have any bad habits?
Ooh, yeah, of course. I wouldn't lie to you. But I think... I would say maybe just being a little impatient. Sometimes I could be, want things a little fast or whatever, but I understand it's not always that way. But it's something that I've been working on and that I think that I've grown a lot in. So I would say that would probably be it. One of them.
At least you don't use snus yet.
No, and I won't.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
What do you listen to?
Oh, I listen to everything, absolutely everything. I think my favorite genre would probably be like hip hop, or I like salsa a lot, being Colombian. But I listen to absolutely everything. I give everything a try. I wouldn't say there's a genre that I don't like or anything like that.
Anything Swedish?
Yeah, my teammates have tried to show me some Swedish music, mostly rap, Swedish rap, but it's cool. I don't understand most of the lyrics, but I can get along with the rhythm and stuff.
I think the rap is getting better in Sweden the more north you
is it?
Will come. Yeah, so they probably only show you the rap from Stockholm, but it's better up in the north.
Okay. We'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, I will guide you.
Perfect.
Do you have any hidden talents?
Not any hidden ones that I don't think. I like to play the guitar and the piano a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm like good at it, but I don't know if that counts.
But you have the rhythm in
your brain. Yeah, that Colombian blood, you know.
So you have hips.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. They don't die.
If your career would end tomorrow, what would you do? What would you work with?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I've always been into cars a little bit. So I was in a program not too long ago, taking classes of like automotive technician, which is like a fancy word for mechanic. So I think something to do with cars like that.
Okay.
That interests me.
Do you have a car?
I do. I do back home.
Yeah. But not in Sweden.
No.
No. Okay. No. What do you miss with America?
The easy answer is just my family and you know, my close people.
No food or something.
My mom's food for sure. Definitely. Course. But I mean, I really enjoy Sweden. I really like it, and I think that helps me kind of deal with you know, me missing back home, because I feel, you know, at home here. The people are really nice, obviously there's not too much of a language barrier. Everyone speaks English. I'm trying to learn Swedish, but that makes it pretty easy to get around. And I mean, everything, I don't really have anything to complain about. Even the cold weather that I'm not used to is easy to get used to. So
you have a thick jacket.
I do. Yeah.
You are pretty good in Swedish after only 1 year. You use phrases when you say hello to me.
Hur mår du?
Jag mår bra. Hur mår du?
Jag mår bra, tack.
Is it true, or do you answer "Jag mår bra" every time?
Both. I answer it every time, but it's also true. I try to be positive all the time, and you know, I like to make people laugh and smile and stuff. So I think I do a good job of doing it, because my teammates are always laughing at me and stuff. So I'm always making them laugh.
But you're trying to learn Swedish. Mm-hmm. Do you plan to stay in Sweden for some years?
It's tough to say. I mean, I as of now, I'm here and I'm happy to be here, and my mind is just focused on GIF right now. So for now, I'm here, and that's kind of all I've thought about. I haven't thought about where I'll be in 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, years. Just focused on being here and being the best that I can here for the team. And while I'm here, I thought, you know, I might as well learn. And also, I want to laugh with the guys and laugh at their jokes as well. So,
yeah. And you're signed for 3 years. So
correct.
Why not getting prepared?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That was the brief questions. If we move forward, I maybe need to take off my sweater.
Yeah, let's go.
It's getting hot. So I want smell sweat this hour. If we start in your childhood, how did you grow up?
I think I don't have anything to complain about. I was very fortunate to have two very loving parents and a loving family. My brothers and sisters will tell you that I was very spoiled, but I'll argue that, even though deep down maybe I know it a little bit. But I'm very grateful for my upbringing and for the people that God put in my life, and I'm very fortunate and feel blessed to grow up around great people. So nothing to complain about at all. My brothers and sisters were tough on me a little bit, which I think helped, especially playing football. You know, with my older brother, he's the one closest to me in age is 5 years older than me. So he was always bigger, of course, and he was probably who I would say I was maybe closest to just because of the age factor. And we used to train together a lot, and I think he toughened me up a lot.
Your family, are you born in Houston?
Yes, I'm born in Houston.
Okay. But your parents are born in Colombia?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. When did they move to America?
Oh, I couldn't give you the exact year, but it must have been close to 30 years now, around there.
How was the circumstances growing up?
I think for me, by the time that I was born and being raised, things were definitely probably easier and a lot better than, let's say, my older brothers and sisters. I think they were good. Like I said, I had nothing to really complain about. My mother, both my parents, I think, did a great job with what they had and with the opportunity that they had. And I know it wasn't difficult, and I've heard, you know, or my brothers and sisters would tell me how it was a little bit difficult at times, but it just makes me a little bit more grateful, and also it motivates me to, you know, want to do something with the opportunity that I was given. My older brothers, most of them played as well. None of them professional, but I think without them, I wouldn't have, you know, made it this far so far. So I'm very appreciative of that, and it makes me kind of want to, you know, not waste it and to show that I appreciate that, you know, and be able to give back in any way somehow.
And do you know how it was for them to establish the family in America when they came to the country?
I don't know too much, just because, well, for example, my oldest brother is 17 years older than me, so there's like a big age gap.
In Sweden, we call you a sladdis.
Sladdis, what does that mean?
That is a child that is much younger than the other ones.
Yeah, but that's me.
I am one as well.
Okay, yeah, that was me. I know that, I don't know everything, but I would say I can't imagine that it was easy. I know my mom had to work multiple jobs, and you know, super proud of her and what she was able to do and how far that we've come from how she told me it used to be. So, they were able to overcome that and those hard times or whatever it was. I know my mom came not speaking a word of English, and she ended up graduating from school with honors and these things. So she's a very strong woman, and really appreciate her.
That's a cool journey.
Yeah.
Do you know why they moved to USA?
I don't know. I think it was kind of similar for both my parents, that their older siblings also were over here, and they just kind of wanted to come, and maybe it was just to see what it was like, and they liked it a lot, or I don't really know, to be honest.
And then in your youth, how did soccer get in the picture?
Soccer, huh?
Soccer. I call it soccer today. Don't get used to it.
No, okay, I won't.
Just to be polite.
I like to say soccer sometimes to my teammates just to make them a little bit mad. But like I mentioned, my dad played, and he's the one that taught us all. So as soon as I could start walking, my dad and both my parents put a ball at my feet, and just kind of went from there. And it's been like the number one thing in my life, basically, since I was born. Everything's been about soccer. Everything kind of has revolved around it, our lives, everything. And, I wouldn't change it for anything.
And if you look at your family, what was the most important characteristics that you got from your parents, do you think, or from your family?
just countless things. I think maybe one of the biggest ones would be that no matter how steep the hill was that they had to climb, or no matter how difficult things got, that they were able to come out on top and to fight through anything. And they've instilled that in me, that and I think it's great, something that I could use every day, especially being here alone, is you know, no matter how hard things can be, or how bad things can be, that if you just keep going and you just stay strong, that you'll make it, you know, to the other side, to the good side, or however you want to see it.
And is that seen in your soccer career?
I think definitely. It hasn't always been easy for me, especially as a professional. I would say my youth career went pretty, I didn't have many obstacles or anything in my youth career, and I think it's like that for many. Once you're a professional, it's a very different game. So you go through things, and obstacles come that sometimes are, you know, big enough to break you. But I think it all depends on you. And for me personally, it's helped me a lot, what they've taught me, because you know, it hasn't been easy for me. I went through several things personally, and also with football, that I think if I didn't have that instilled in me, that maybe I wouldn't have made it through. Not to sound dramatic, but, you know, that maybe I could have given up, or I could have quit. But I'm glad I didn't.
We're going to look more into that later on.
Sure.
But when you were a young player, you joined Houston Dynamo pretty early.
Yeah, right? very early.
11 years old? Or?
Around 10 or 11, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to, like, camps. We'd have... I was playing with my dad's team, our under 11 team or 10. And I would go to camps around once a week, to, like, these Dynamo camps that they had for kids around the city, and they could start kind of, picking from there. And that's where it kind of started for me, until I eventually was old enough to move to the actual youth team.
And how is it to be a part of an American academy? I think the system in America is different from the Swedish association.
I can't really speak too much on the Swedish, like, youth or the academies. I don't know how it is, but... I think it was good for me. I learned a lot, and I grew a lot from joining the academy. And I think it's probably the best place that you could go for an American player, is to join your local academy, your professional academy team.
Is it like, if you join the Houston Dynamo Academy, is it like, it's like, do they pick the best players, or is it for everybody to come and join, or is it something extra?
I think there's several teams, I want to say, that but there's definitely like a main academy, I would say. One team in each age group, and I wouldn't say always the best players are there, but they definitely invite and want to have the best players in those
you have to earn teams. Your
Yeah, correct. Spot. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so how was your way forward through the academy?
So I started with going to these camps around once a week, and then eventually, when I made the full switch to the academy, I think I was maybe 11 when I joined the U13s, and just kept progressing year after year, move up, and. Eventually, until I joined the first team.
And you were something extra early, I understand. You were the Academy Player of the Year 3 years in a row. And you walked through the national team system year by year.
Yeah, I went to my first national team camp at for the under 13s, I believe. So around maybe a year or two after, I was with Dynamo, the academy. I went to my first national team camp and went to every single one. I missed a couple due to injury. I had the same injury as I just had, but on my other foot. But this was years ago. I think I was around 16 or 17. 16, I believe. And I was fortunate enough to go to just about every single camp since from U13 to U20 national team.
But what made you such a good player at that time?
I appreciate it. I think
I haven't seen you, but I guess they do their job when they pick up the national teams.
Yeah, I think I always had a talent for football, but training just all the time with my dad and my brother, and even my mom would take me sometimes. I'd get to school late sometimes because she would take me to the park instead of to school, and we would
before
like
school.
And we would like bring a ball and we'd play a little bit of football, me against her, and at the time it was an even match, me against her. I wouldn't say so anymore. What's that?
How old were you?
Oh, I was in elementary school, so I don't know, 10, 9, 8. So I remember those times, and she used to tell me, like, you know, like when you score, like think about like a stadium full of people and, you know, picture yourself playing professional. So I think my parents had an idea that I was good enough to possibly go professional. And they made me feel real important. They didn't miss a single game. They went to every single game they could. They would drive hours and hours state to state for my brother and I to go watch our games. And I think that's the reason that I'm here today playing professionals, because although I was talented for it, my parents and my brother, I think they made me a lot better, and they helped me work hard. I remember when my brother and I were much younger, he's very very disciplined, very kind of organized person, and he used to go and train all the time by himself or go for a run, and I wouldn't say I'm necessarily like that. Now I've developed a good habit of you know, doing extra and doing personal things and doing what I need to do to get better, but I wasn't naturally like that. My brother definitely was, and I'm lucky that he was older than me and that he would do it, because I wanted to be like him and I wanted to do what he was doing. So if he was going to go play a little bit or go running, I would want to do it too. And so looking back at it now, I realized that like that helped me a lot, because I was getting in a bunch of extra training that I'm sure many weren't doing, just because I wanted to kind of do what he was doing and be like him.
So that was maybe the core to your early success.
I think that was a big part of it. And then, like I said, he toughened me up a lot. He wouldn't go easy on me, you know, playing one against one. So when I was able to do it to at least handle my own against someone 5 years older than me, whenever it was time to do it to someone my age, I didn't have an issue or a problem with it. And it was much easier against people my age than against him.
Yeah. And you are not the tallest guy out on the field.
I'm not.
I'm sorry to say that.
No, but I'm joking.
Compared to Jakob Finne, you're a bit shorter.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely.
I just say that you are shorter than Finne.
Yeah. So we all are.
But,
huh?
but it sounds like you, the physical aspect of the game, you have been gaining from playing against your brother.
Yeah, definitely.
You haven't been hiding.
No. I'm someone that looks forward to a challenge as well. I've always been like that, and like I said, playing with my brother and training with him, and he didn't go easy on me. And even training with the older brothers who are now, we're talking 10 years older than me or even more. And maybe they wouldn't go in a duel with me, but I was in goal or something and they were shooting at me. So I had to learn to, you know, you can't jump out of the way, because then, you know, one of them might come and yell at you or punch you or something. So I think they definitely toughened me up a lot. And also my mom is a very, she's very sweet, but she's also very hard and, you know, very like I think if she were a football player, she'd probably have a red card every three games or something. So
she has a temper.
Not a temper, but like temper. She's very I don't even know how to explain it really. She's just a very she's a strong person, I think, and it comes back to
discipline.
Years before when I said that she was coming over and she had the kids and she had to work multiple jobs. Mm. So she always used to tell me as well, you get knocked down, you get up, no crying. And she still tells me even, today, you get knocked down, you got to keep going and whatever, metaphorically and also literally, on the field, whatever it is. So, I owe them a lot.
Definitely. She's toughened up by life.
Yeah, I would say definitely. Yeah. And I think she just naturally, she's naturally like that. My dad's a little more chill, a little more laid back.
But it sounds like a very dedicated family. Mm. Why do you think they have been so dedicated to your soccer?
I think even if it wasn't football, I think whatever I would have wanted to do, they would have been just as dedicated. I think it just boils down to their love for us. And in this case, for me, if I wanted to be, an artist or if I wanted to be a mechanic or something, I think they would support me just as much.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of early success could build up a reputation and in some way also some kind of pressure around you. Have you experienced that or how has it been?
I think when I was younger, I don't think I felt much pressure just because I was doing what I like to do. Mm. And I wasn't at training or I wasn't at the games because my parents would make me or because someone was making me go. Mm. I wanted to be there and I wanted to do it. I didn't feel any kind of pressure that way. I just felt like, I'm having fun, I'm doing what I love, and I'm good at it. So, and then now it's like, oh, I've been doing this for my whole life. I'm trained for this. I'm prepared for this moment, and I think I'm a very confident person. And I think, with all the, some of the experiences that I've had that have helped me kind of not see pressure as a bad thing, but see it as, a good thing and embrace it. And I think, these pressure moments and these big moments are good and they help you grow. And so I enjoy it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And you also went for trials to Europe, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. When you were 18 years old or something around that.
There was a... I would say it was about a year where I was around 17, I think, when I went. I think I was actually 15 or 16 when I went on my first trial, and it was to Porto.
Mm-hmm.
And it went very well. They really liked me. I couldn't sign or do anything. I didn't have any papers, and I was too young. I think you had to be 18. Yeah, mm-hmm. correct. So, that was an issue, but they tried to make it work, couldn't do anything about it. But then I went back again when I was 17, and then again, I think I went twice when I was 17, or I might have been 17 and then 18. And it was all positive, and it was all very good. There were some issues and some complications. And this year where I was doing these tryouts, I also went to Germany as well. I went to Scotland. And
where in Scotland? It was 1860 Munich.
Yeah, that was the last team I went on trial at before I came back and signed for Dynamo.
Mm.
But I was also at Augsburg and Stuttgart.
Okay.
In Scotland, I was at Hearts.
Mm.
So I've been a couple places, and it was very strange. I look back at it with my parents because I did well at these tryouts, and especially at these Porto ones, I ended up leaving Dynamo for a year because I was going on trial. I couldn't really stay and then go and come back or whatever. And I kind of put all my eggs into that basket because it was like, I guess a 90% like that I was going to sign. Like it was a sure thing almost, but things fell through. And then, so I went on a few more trials. I went to Hearts and it went well. And I actually got, they wanted me to stay. But then I think I wanted to go see, I was waiting on this Porto. It was like a time period of like waiting from my last trial to when I got an answer or when, you know. And then I went to Germany as well, went to a few teams there. And I did very well at the trials as well. But then it was again like this, it was like, yes, but then something happened and...
Do you know what?
At Augsburg, it was I was with the second team, like the under 23s, and I did very, very well. And then before I left, like the I think the first team staff came to look, and like they liked what how I was playing and how I was training, and they took about a week of like the under 23s and the first team, like the staff got together, and when they were deciding about me. It just kind of came down to, like, I didn't fit the style that the first team wanted or, like, the kind of player profile that they wanted at the number 10 position. Then I went to Stuttgart, and at Stuttgart I did well, but I wasn't physically fit, and I kind of had, I felt a little burned out after this Augsburg trial where I kind of gave it everything. And I was, this whole year, I was kind of just training by myself, and I wasn't with Dynamo anymore. So, like, I guess I didn't prepare physically as well as I should have. But they said that the feedback that I got from the coach was, like, IQ-wise and football-wise, like, he's fantastic, and he's up there with the best of our players. But physically, you know, he needs to work on that, and we have already started the season, like we don't have time to kind of get him up there. So then after that I went to Munich, to 1860 Munich, and crazy story, my national team coach from my U20s, he ended up becoming the first team coach at Dynamo.
Okay.
So then I was at 1860 Munich at this time. I was there for a few weeks, and they wanted me to stay, but then my national team coach.
Finns det något bättre än riktigt gott färskmalet kaffe på morgonen? Det skulle väl vara en McToast med rökt skinka och smältost. Och nu får du båda för bara 30 kronor. Välkommen till McDonald's.
På Sveriges största jackpot-casino går Hypermiljonen på högvarv. Från Malmö i söder till Kiruna i norr har Hypermiljonen genererat över 130 miljoner exklusivt till våra spelare. Välkommen in till Sveriges största jackpot-casino, hyper.com.
18 plus, regler och villkor gäller.
Call me and he told me that he had signed with Houston, and he wanted me to come back and to sign. So then it didn't take too much convincing to go back then that time, and that's what I did. I ended up joining them that next season.
That sounds like an intense year.
It was very intense, and like I kind of gave you an overview of it, like a, you know, a brief, I guess, version of it, but it was a lot, and that was when I spoke a little bit earlier about some of the stuff that I had to go through was accepting. It was very weird for me, and I was, although just a few years younger, it was weird, kind of like, well, I don't know, like I'm good enough, and like I showed that I'm good enough, they tell me that I'm good enough, and like I know it, I see it, you know, and the players around me, so like I don't understand, like why didn't the Porto thing work out, why didn't the Stuttgart thing work out, you know what I mean? So there was moments where I kind of reflected, and I had to think long and hard about, like, you know, what's going on. And like, I thought, you know, there was a lot of, I guess, a lot of kind of maybe doubt sometimes could creep in, and like think, well, I mean, I don't know what more I could do. Like I showed, you know, that I'm up to the level, that I'm above the level even, at times, or that I can be, you know, potentially. So I think that helped me grow a lot because, again, it was weird. It wasn't like I got rejected. Mm. Maybe the Stuttgart one was a little bit like that. But the Augsburg one, the Porto one, it wasn't like a rejection, like, he didn't do good in the trial or whatever. So it was a huge learning experience, and it's something that that I take with me all the time, mm-hmm. and that, you know, I think helped me. Although maybe things didn't go necessarily how I wanted them at the time, but I understand that everything plays a role, and nothing happens just by accident. I mm-hmm. think, you know, everything is purposeful and has a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you look at it, do you have like a moment when you feel this was the bottom?
No. I think my bottom, we could say, would be later when I was in my last year. I think, yeah, my last year with Dynamo. Or I spent 3 years professionally there, and I only played 3 MLS games, and they were all in my first year. And I always felt that I was good enough to play or to get a real opportunity, and things just didn't happen that way. And then I used to think, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm not doing the right thing. But, you know, I tried to kind of dissect what I was doing, and I couldn't see what I was doing wrong. So it was very tough for me to kind of accept that, because, I mean, I'm a realistic person, and I know that if I'm not up to the level, or if I'm not doing well in training, or if I don't deserve to play, I wouldn't complain about it, or I wouldn't, I'll take it on the chin and I'll do what I need to do to get ready. But I felt that I was at the level. I felt like I could have gotten a real opportunity. It never really came for me. And so it was hard for me to accept it a little bit, because I didn't know also what I needed to really work on, because I felt like I was, you know, there. So there was that last year I spent was a little bit tough for me, and because I knew also that my time with the club was coming to an end contract wise. I would say that was probably the hardest part, and then especially after everything else before that. I would say that.
Yeah. If we stay a little bit on the trial tryout mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. How did you handle it mentally to get through that?
I think what kept me going was my faith in God, and then also my parents and my family, my support team. I would call them that. They reassure me, and then also I knew deep down, whether even if I got doubts and stuff, I knew deep down that I was still, you know, a good player, and that I was good enough. And I think because I didn't really get rejected like that, it was for other things, and sometimes not even football things, led to those things. So deep down I always knew that I was still good enough, and that everything was part of God's plan, and that it happens for a reason, and that it was a learning moment. So although it got really hard, like I said, what my parents would teach me, it just, like, no matter how hard it gets, you get it back up and you keep going.
But at that point you really wanted to Europe.
Yeah, definitely. It's always been my dream to play over here. I think it's no secret that the biggest football is here, and that's where it's biggest. Mm-hmm. So I've always dreamed of playing here. My favorite players playing in European clubs and European competitions and stuff. So I always wanted to come over here and to see how far I could get.
Mm-hmm. So how was it then when they gave you a call, or they maybe didn't? I don't know how it was, how it was, but they gave you a call at last from Houston. Houston, you say?
Yeah, Houston.
Houston. Houston. It's difficult to pronounce for me. I maybe say Houston.
It's okay.
When they gave you that call, how was that?
It was good. after a year of just doing trials and just being kind of everywhere but nowhere at the same time, it was a little bit relieving because I mean, I love Houston. I'm a fan of the club even before I was a player, and still am a fan. So obviously I'm very proudful of my hometown and of the club. So I was happy, and I was I felt like it was the right thing to do, especially with me having a good relationship with my national team coach. And he, you know, we had a good relationship. He had confidence in me and stuff. So I felt like it was a good opportunity to go back. And I think I came at a right time where I wasn't sure what the next part was going to be. But and especially after doing that whole year of trying out and stuff. So, yeah, it was good, and I was happy, and it didn't take too much thinking about it to sign. Mm.
Did you still have a strong faith in yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Although, like I said, maybe there was doubts and stuff, it's just for a moment or for a couple moments, and then I, excuse me, then I remember, you know, who I am, and I recite some verses, and some scripture from the Bible, and everything that my parents have instilled in me, have taught me. So,
you mentioned God, you mentioned faith.
Mm-hmm.
How important is that for you?
Really important. Really important. It's everything to me. I'm not afraid to express it or to show it or to talk about it. And I'm happy to and proud to. So. I think it's helped me a lot, and I've learned a lot of things, and it's helped me with so many things. I think even for someone that's not religious, I think there's a lot of values and a lot of good things to learn from reading the Bible, and as well from just having something to connect to, or having something you know, outside of your profession or whatever it is to kind of connect with. And for me, it's God and it's the Bible. And that's something that my parents also instilled in me from when I was young. So it became a habit and a good one.
After returning to Houston, you mm-hmm. say it like it's so easy.
Houston. Yeah.
After returning... how was those years to come?
A mix of emotions, I think. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm proud. I was very proud and very happy to be there. But football-wise, I'm still not satisfied with how it went. I would have liked to have, you know, done more for the club and to have been play a bigger role than I did. But, you know, it didn't happen that way, and I'm okay with that now.
How is it in soccer and MLS if you are a young player, a hot prospect? Do they let these players play?
I think it varies. Just like in world football, kind of varies from team to team. You have your teams that will have, let's say, multiple homegrowns playing, or maybe give a little bit more opportunity, or maybe... focus a little bit more in their academy than others, and then you have your teams that have a lot of money and that are able to buy these big players, and I think that makes it a little bit harder for youth players, obviously, to break into the squad.
And then how is it in Houston?
It's tough to say. There wasn't too many homegrowns with me at the time, so maybe there was 2-3 that were with me at the time, and I was probably the older of the bunch. Sorry, there was one more homegrown who was a few years older than me, like around six years older than me, and he was playing a good amount. But for me personally, it wasn't. I only played 3 games, and you know, I'm not gonna say that was on the club or anything. I think I definitely, you know, could have Yeah, I can't say it. I wouldn't put it on the club. Mm. That.
Yeah, but do you think when you look at it that that you earned more?
What's that? Sorry.
Did should you have, earn more?
Should
more?
Have earned more, or
what's no, that? No, no, no. Would you? Were you worth to play more?
Oh,
to get a bigger role and grow in that.
Like, do I think that I should have had a bigger role?
Yeah.
I think I always say yeah. I think I was ready for it, at least mentally. It's what I wanted. Mm. So I know that I would have given absolutely everything when I got the opportunity. And, you know, maybe it could be just maybe I saw it that way. And maybe from the outside it wasn't that way. But I think I did... I think I did well enough to have something, but you know, that's just me, and maybe the coaches wanted something else, and I completely understand that. So I, you know, I gave what I had, and I wish I could have given more, but you know, I'm very happy for the time that I spent there, and I appreciate, you know, the years that I spent there.
And before last season, you changed to Eskilstuna, of all places in the world. You came to Sweden and Eskilstuna. Could you believe that a few years earlier?
Honestly, probably not. I would say a few years ago, doing these trials and being a national team player, I thought, you know, if it was maybe with the first team, I would be there for a long time and have a bigger role. But like I said, it didn't happen that way, and I just kind of kept going down the path that was being, I guess, paved, or the path that was kind of shown to me, and ended up being at Eskilstuna. And I'm glad that I went last year and that I came to Sweden. I like, you know, what I've seen so far and what I've been able to experience so far, and I think it's been great, and I wouldn't change a thing about it.
How did the alternative show up?
To come to Sweden?
Yep.
My contract ran out with Houston. Didn't get my last option year picked up. And so it was obviously time for me to go somewhere else. And the normal path, if we call it that way, would be to probably just go to a USL team or something. Second division in the US. But I went on loan for a season to the USL while I was with Dynamo, my second year.
Charlotte, right?
Correct, correct. And
first game was against Forrest Lasso in Tampa Bay.
Tampa?
Rowdies. Yeah, he played here
a couple of seasons. Center back, yeah. I'm well aware. Him and Joe Corona, I think, at the same time, huh? And they beat us that game. So I played in the USL for a year, and although I really enjoyed it and really liked it, I wanted a different kind of challenge. And like I said, I always had this goal and this dream of coming to play in Europe. So I got in contact with my agency, Nordic Sky, and obviously they're quite big here in Scandinavia, and they have several players also in the USL and stuff. So I got in contact with them. They said that they could help me find something in like Sweden or maybe Norway or somewhere here. and so, you know, I went with it to see what would come up, and then Eskilstuna AFC came up, and so I just went for it, and I'm glad I did.
And how come you used Northern Sky as your agency? It is a Swedish agency, right?
Yeah, they got in contact with me around the time that I was done with Dynamo. And I wasn't, I didn't have an agent at the time. and so when they presented me with like the kind of just this project of coming over here and, you know, what it would kind of be like, it seemed great. And the people that I spoke to seemed like great people. And so I went along with it, and like I said, I'm really glad that I did.
Were you positive at once?
positive is like from the beginning.
Yeah,
definitely. I was really excited to begin my career over here in Europe, and I'm still just as excited and you know, hopefully can continue taking steps.
And I think you have to come closer to the mic. How was the adaptation to Sweden and Swedish football the first year?
It was I remember when I got here, it was so cold, and I felt like I didn't know how to kick a ball anymore because of how cold my feet were. And I think I got used to it pretty quickly. I think that's something that I'm pretty good at, is adapting to different things and to new things. And I'm not one to complain much about things, and I try to, you know, see the positive in everything. So being away from home, being somewhere very cold where I wasn't used to the weather, didn't complain about it, and instead, you know, I embraced it. And so I think it was very easy to adapt to the new lifestyle.
How was it to move from home?
I first moved away when I was 15.
Okay, you did?
Yeah, throughout this time with Dynamo and with the national team, I went with, I'm a 2001, but the 2000 age group was preparing for like the U17 World Cup. So there was a residency program where the players will live together for like around 2 years. Okay. And so that second year, me and I think 4 or 5 other players from my age group went to go live and to join this residency program with the national team.
In which city?
It was in Florida. It was the state of Florida, yeah.
So but how was it to move then as 15 years old?
It was tough, but I was there for, you know, for football and for I think that always kept me going. And my parents would come visit me sometimes, and we lived together all in the same like dorms, my teammates and I. So I grew, you know, strong connections with the players, and it was okay. I adapted quickly to that too, and although of course I missed home and my family and stuff, it was easy to just keep going.
And but you moved back to your family then?
Correct. After the program was done, then I just came back home and continued with Dynamo.
And but when you moved to Sweden, then you have to learn to cook if you haven't done that already.
No, I knew how to cook. I knew how to cook.
That's great to hear. Some of the young guys in your team.
No, I knew how to cook. My parents taught me, and it wasn't an issue. And I'm someone that likes to cook. Don't love the cleaning up after, but I definitely like to cook, and I learned new recipes, just watch YouTube on how to make something, and it's not too hard, you know, to follow.
You have a girlfriend in America.
Correct.
How is that?
Yeah, it's great. We've been together for about 5.5 years. We have a very strong, special connection, and obviously a good relationship, strong one. It's not easy, obviously, being away from each other for so long and so far from each other with the time difference and not being able to talk sometimes. But, you know, she's working, and I'm busy here, focused as well. So we're both, you know, busy with our own professions that it kind of works out.
What is the key to manage a long distance situation?
I think I'm pretty easy. I don't think that she needs to do much for me, to be honest. But for her, just, you know, some reassuring and you know, some just you know, making an effort to whatever it is, a FaceTime call or whatever it might be, to just
how often do you see each other?
Like physically, or what are you talking? In the year of last year, I saw her. I went home in the summer, for our break. I went home, saw her then, and then she came over once, for 2 or 3 weeks, in Eskilstuna, and so then twice throughout the year. And then obviously when I went back home after the season.
Yeah, and the year in Eskilstuna, how was it?
It was good. Bittersweet. Obviously, it was good to get my first season in Europe under my belt and learn several things and whatnot. But obviously, it was very disappointing the way that the season turned out. I wish, you know, it turned out differently just for the club and stuff. But I'm happy to be here and, you know, focused on here now, and I'm gonna make sure I do what I can from do my part to make sure that doesn't happen here.
And if you look at cultural differences between America and Sweden, what have you experienced?
I think a lot of people will say this, I think Americans are a little more kind of outgoing. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you don't really have to, I think Americans will just open up to you, you know, even if you don't want them to or whatever. I guess judging from me and my teammates, like how different we are, I'm a little loud, and I'm always, you know, even in the morning at 7 a.m. or whatever, I'm like cracking jokes already. And I probably annoy a lot of the guys, but you know, they're you know, still half asleep, some of them. So I think it's different, but I've enjoyed it, and I can't complain about a single thing.
Mm-hmm. When did you get to know about the interest from GIF Sundsvall?
As soon as the season finished for me, last season. Mm-hmm. As soon as the season finished, I think maybe within 2 weeks, I can't remember exactly, but pretty soon after the season finished last season.
It wasn't your only alternative, right?
No, but I mean, since when Gief first contacted us, I wanted to come. And the whole off season, like, I was thinking of wanting to come here with the project that was presented to me from Douglas and Joel and from what I heard, obviously, from different people, old teammates in AFC, everyone had good things to say about Gief and about Sundsvall. So I think it was something that I felt like strong about from the beginning and until I signed.
Because Degerfors was interested as well, right?
Yeah, there was a little bit of interest there, but it wasn't anything too serious.
You already turned them down.
I wouldn't say I necessarily turned them down, but it wasn't necessary. It didn't get very far at all.
Yeah, but then it took a little time to get you on place. Uh-huh. Why?
I think the club was making sure that they got the most important pieces, or I guess what was needed maybe for the project that they had for this season. That's my guess anyways.
Yeah, maybe secure the finances.
Could be. I don't really know, but I'm glad that I ended up coming.
Yeah. How has your start been?
Has been good. Like I said, the guys are great. The staff is great. Everyone's been very welcoming and very helpful. And it's like I said earlier, I feel like I've been here for months. You know, I feel very connected to everyone and to the club. And also, I got past that learning curve of like what it's like with the cold and how it is to be over here and the cultural differences. I got over that kind of hump, that learning curve last year. So it's been very smooth being here.
One listener, Johan Martinsson, is asking about how the start has been both around the team and the city. We asked about the team, so the city. How are you adapting?
Good. I think it's been great. The hardest part is the snow, and I think I've almost fallen, I think, about 20 times walking to training.
What do you have on your feet?
Right now, I just have some sneakers, but
I need better ones.
I left my snow boots. I don't need them in Texas or in Houston. Can you imagine? And I left them.
But they are still there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So my parents will bring them when they come. Oh. But yeah, I mean, I probably won't need them by the time they're here. Actually, I don't know. Is it still going to be warm in the or still going
to
be cold?
It's going to be warm, not compared to Houston. Mm. It's, it's maybe...
We don't want that.
And you also speak about Fahrenheit. I can't even compare. But in Celsius, it's around 20, 25 degrees.
Warm, not, we'll say. Huh?
Warm, but not hot.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so which is the best restaurant you have been to so far now when you live the restaurant life?
Oh man, it's got to be between Invito and Grekiska. I'm there most of the time for lunch. And they're nice to us players and they recognize us as well. So it's nice to be there and they take care of us really, really well.
Yeah, I know the owner of Invito is a big fan.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And then I like this. I like Chinese food a lot. Then I went to this restaurant. I think it's called Canton or something.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty good. So, but I can't eat that for lunch every day, or often even. So, Grekiska and Invito is where I'm at most of the time.
Yeah. And yeah, Jonas Sakrisson is also wondering about the difference between soccer in USA and in Sweden.
I think I've found it to be very organized here. Tactically, there's a real understanding with the whole club, with the whole team. And I think it's very, there's a good emphasis on like the defensive tactics and like the organization. I've found that. I think in America, there's a little bit more space to play. I would say that's probably the biggest difference. Mm.
He also asked, which is your favorite team in Europe?
Oof, Real Madrid. It's such a basic answer, but that's one thing that...
excuse me, what did you say?
Real Madrid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I probably went opposite on with my brother is I liked Real Madrid because he liked Barcelona. So.
Which is the best American soccer player in history, he also asks.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Did they put soccer, by the way, or are you just saying soccer?
Yeah, the question was asked in Swedish.
Ah, okay.
I just translated it to
gotcha,
soccer.
Gotcha. That's tough. I think maybe my favorite would probably have to be, I would say probably Clint Dempsey.
Mm.
Yeah, I like from his attitude to how good he was as well. I admire him a lot. And he's from Texas as well.
Classical player.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that you don't mention any new players. You go for the old ones.
Oh, you said all time. So, I mean,
yeah.
They're still playing. So.
Yeah, that's good. And right now then, what do you want to achieve in your career?
Oof. Right now I'm focused on, you know, the today, and my goal is to hopefully be a part of this team that goes up to Allsvenskan, and then go from there. But, you know, I want to win the league. Obviously I have a sour taste from last year, how things didn't go our way and we got relegated. So I know that won't happen this year, and I have a lot of confidence, a lot of belief in the team and the players that we have, and in the staff that we have, the whole club. So I really think if we play to our potential, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll be up there fighting for that. So that's definitely my goal right now, and I think it's something that we could definitely achieve.
Mm. What is your vision from coming to Giftsundsvall, being in Giftsundsvall, and on these 3 years that you signed for?
Yeah, it's to go up to Allsvenskan and just go from there. I haven't thought too much about like very far, but for this season, I think we have the players, we have the staff, we have the idea and the everything to be a team that goes up.
Mm. It's interesting to hear because we know how Giftsundsvall was struggling last year, but now it seems to be a firm believing in that this is a team that can achieve things, that are capable of achieving things.
Yeah.
It's brave to believe that. What? How come this bravery, do you think?
I think that's just the... I think that's how it should be. If we're not playing to go to Allsvenskan, I don't know why we would step on the field, or step on the pitch. I think if we don't believe that we're good enough to beat all these teams or to come in first place or second place or whatever it is, if we don't believe that we're good enough to go up, I don't know why we would even put on the shirt or put on the jersey or be here. So I think it starts with that, with having that mentality and having that bravery of, you know, we are good enough. And then, of course, showing it on the pitch and, you know, taking what the coaches want us to do, what the staff want us to do, and putting that together with our talent and how good we are. And I think there's no doubt in my mind that if we do that, that we're a team that should be up there.
Is it any player that has that you think is more impressive?
Ooh, several. I wasn't too familiar with many of the players. I knew a couple, obviously, from last year, but the two games that I played against Gief last year were one in preseason, and the next one was the second game of the season. So a long time ago. I was injured when we played when AFC played Gief the last game. But obviously, guys like Oliver Stojanovic, I think Amaro, I think Svanberg, although he hasn't trained much, I could, you know, see from his first couple of training sessions that he's very good. I think Gustav Nord has done a really good preseason as well, and he's shown some great things. He had a good game last game as well. I could, you know, say several things about every single player. You know, it's I believe that everyone in there is very good and deserves to be here. And I'm happy to be a part of them.
It looks like a very competitive team, whoever could play tomorrow. Uh-huh. You don't really know. That's something new, I would say, about Gif Sundsvall. I have promised, as told, to take a winter bath in Sidsjön. have you been to Sidsjön?
No, I haven't. Is it this
And it's a lake up the mountain there, almost.
Well, ideally we won't have to, right?
What?
Ideally we won't have to, right?
If you are not a success, you have to take the bath with me.
I'll take the bath.
I promised the readers of the newspaper to do that.
I'll take a bath with you. You have my word.
Yeah. I just wanted that recorded.
Yeah, perfect.
We will have proof.
I have I have full faith in myself and in my teammates that this will be a good season.
Yeah, so don't get injured.
No.
That will put pressure on me.
Right.
We have been speaking for more than an hour. How has this been?
It's been fun. It's been great. And I've enjoyed it. So, tack så mycket.
Tack så mycket. But I also have to ask you, we spoke a little bit about the time in MLS. Do you plan to one day return to MLS and show them what you got?
I would say I'm open to anything. Obviously, being there before and being from Houston and having still a good relationship with the club, of course I wouldn't mind going back home at all. And I think it's something that would interest me, and not so much, I don't think, to show them anything, but just to be able to give to the club what I feel like I can give, and to be able to give to the city as well. But you know, I'm open to anything. I haven't thought that far ahead. I just, like I said, I'm just focused on on having a good season this season, mm-hmm. and you know, seeing what happens.
First of all, let's conquer Superettan, Sweden, absolutely. And then Europe.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot for taking your time. I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hej, Susanne Axel här. När du gör som jag och listar dig på en av Krys vårdcentraler får du en fast läkarkontakt som kan din sjukdomshistoria. Du får träffa erfarna specialister, tillgång till lättakuten och så kan du chatta med vårdpersonalen. Så gör ditt viktigaste val idag. Lista dig hos Kry.
Bara på Storytel. Tovefallet, det olösta mordet på Viking Sally, loppisfyndet som ledde till ett mordmysterium och mycket mer. Upptäck tusentals dokumentärer, true crime och nytt exklusivt innehåll varje vecka. Prova Storytel gratis.